take a minute and let that sink in. God takes us as we are. He'll make us into something new, but He receives us just as we are. So if you're here today and you're broken, desperate for rescue, you're hurting, wherever you are in your life, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for that truth. Thank You that You are our Father who welcomes us, a good, good Father. It's who You are, and that Your love for us is who we are. It's our identity, God, is found in You. And Lord, I pray this morning, if anybody is here that doesn't feel that doesn't know that they can be identified by being Your child, Father, I pray this morning will be the day that You open their heart to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today, Lord, I pray that as we look at what Jesus taught us, Father, I pray that You will challenge us, that You will change us, and that we will leave here today new people because of You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated. Matthew chapter 6 is where we are once again. Matthew chapter 6, we briefly touched on this verse last week, but only for a moment because I knew we'd be getting to it today. So this is week 4. We are halfway through our series, 8 Things I Wish Jesus Had Never Said. And today, number 4 is do not worry. But sometimes we like to worry, don't we? It's easy, it feels good sometimes that I can feel a bit more control if I'm worrying about stuff, and if I ever don't worry, it means that I'm not in control, and sometimes it's worth the stress of worrying to feel like I'm more in control than I actually am. And stress is a big deal. Stress is a big deal that affects us physically, affects us emotionally, it affects us spiritually. It touches each and every one of us in some way. Some statistics on stress. I want to talk about stress just for a moment. We live in one of the most affluent nations in the entire world. We live in a country where we're free to go where we want, to travel. We're free to worship as we want to. We're free to seek upward mobility, to work hard and be rewarded for that. We're free in a lot of ways. Those of us who live under the statistical poverty line, if you are, most people in America have a TV or at least one vehicle or air conditioning. We live in a place where stress really shouldn't be something we deal with. But a report from American Psychological Association 2015 found this. The top 3 stressors in American life are money, work, and family responsibilities. And generally, it's how to balance the 3. That's where the stress comes in, is how to balance the 3. Because you could give yourself to work, you can give yourself to pursuing money, but you're going to have failings when it comes to your family. You can give yourself to family, but maybe it falls by the wayside with your work or with money. And to be honest with you, you're never going to find balance. You just have to find the best combination of these where you can work together. Those are the top 3 stressors: work, money, and family responsibilities. 33%. About 39% report overeating or eating unhealthy foods due to stress. So, 39% of people report having overeaten or eaten unhealthy stuff because it's stress eating. I mean, I do it. I don't know if you do it. Some people do it. Eat too much, or the sweet stuff really starts sounding extra good, or the high-fat stuff really starts sounding extra good. Vegetables never sound good, especially when you're stressed out. So we don't eat healthy when we're stressed. So not only is the stress wreaking havoc on your body, because when you're stressed out, your heart rate goes up, your blood pressure goes up, and that messes with everything, but also you're not eating healthy. So that just complicates things on top of that. A third of adults report that stress has a very strong impact on their physical and mental health. Over the decades, mental disease is up. Chronic physical physical problems and chronic mental problems are up, and most of it due to stress. So what did Jesus say about it? Well, look in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. He says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Jesus says, don't worry. It's easy enough, right? I mean, he just said, don't worry, so let's just not worry. We can just close up and go home, right? Now, it's a little bit more complicated than that. There's a lot going into it. And this verse, actually, you know, when Jesus was preaching this sermon, he didn't break it up between verse 24 and 25. He didn't put a little subject heading in there if your Bible has one of those. Let me start in verse 24, where we were last week, and read into verse 25, and it'll start to make a little more sense. He says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat and what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? So what Jesus is saying is, because you can't serve two masters, don't worry about the physical stuff. Because you have to make a choice between the two, choose God. And as we'll see in a minute, when you choose God, the other stuff takes care of itself. God's got you. God's going to take care of you. God is watching over you. Worry is evidence of a lack of faith and an unwillingness to serve God completely. The phrase, don't be worried, it literally means don't be drawn in different directions. So the picture that Jesus is painting when he said that don't be drawn in different directions, he's saying you're going to be tempted to be pulled between serving God and serving wealth. And where that decision point is, that's where stress happens. That's where worry happens. Because when we move to fully serving God, it means that we have to let the physical wealth, the material needs, all those things kind of take care of themselves and let God worry about that. What does that mean? It means we're not in control. And for whatever reason, God designed us to want to be in control. And most of the time, when it comes to stress and worry and problems, because I feel out of control. And it's usually in the details. I mean, there's some big things we can't worry about because we can't control it, even if we wanted to. Anytime we've had to make a big move, there's been big things that are outside of our control, like coming here. We were moving here, and I wasn't so stressed about, I mean, it didn't make sense at the time. It still doesn't really. I mean, we didn't know if we moved here. If y'all weren't here back then a year ago, we moved here not knowing if I had this job or not. We load up our U-Haul and moved across the country and left our U-Haul down at Jane's parents in Wynn, because if it didn't go well and y'all didn't vote me in, I was going to be moving with my parents in Little Rock. We didn't know. In that moment, that did not stress me out. I wasn't worried about that because that was outside of my control. Even if I wanted to be in control of what God was going to do here in this body on that Sunday, I couldn't do anything about it. I wasn't worried about where am I going to live tomorrow, even though I didn't know. What I was worried about, how am I going to get the U-Haul where it needs to be? How am I going to get my stuff arranged? If it doesn't, we have to move down to Little Rock. You know, where are we going to put our stuff while we're living with Mom and Dad? If we do get here, how are we going to make sure that we get the U-Haul here and have people at the same time? All these little things that really aren't big deal. That's what stressed me out. And I think we'll find most of the time, it's all those little details that kind of stress us out. And in the moments of life, we don't have a lot of problems trusting God for these big things we can't control. We have problems trusting God for the little things that we can because we don't want to let go of the control. So God says, you have to choose trusting me and trusting yourself. Ultimately, when it comes down to it. And Jesus says, you can't have both. You can't trust God. You can't trust wealth. You can't trust yourself. Choose God and don't worry about the rest of it. Well, he explains a little bit further. Let's keep reading. Verse 26. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, being worried, can add a single hour to his life? Verse 28. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. So Jesus is saying, look at the birds. They don't work. They're not toiling out to grow crops and harvest crops, but God feeds them. Look at the flowers. They're not making clothes, but they're wildflowers, some of the most beautiful things in the world. You don't have to cultivate them. You don't have to work. They just happen. They just happen. Now, it's important we look at verse 26 because there's a temptation here to misinterpret what Jesus was saying. Because he says, they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them. There's a temptation here to say, God's saying, I don't have to work and he's going to take care of me. If I just spend all my time praying and communing with God and nature or my home or wherever it is, I can sit back and spend time with him and pray and worship and read my Bible and I don't have to work and God's going to take care of everything. There's a temptation to go that direction. That's not what Jesus was saying, because you ever watch a bird? They are nonstop work. I mean, they are working all the time. They're just not in control of everything that involves. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, it's on the screen, you don't have to turn there. Verse 10, Paul says, for even when we were with you, we used to give you this order, if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For I hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. So Paul warns the Thessalonian church and warning us as well, that if you don't work for your living, you're not going to eat. Okay, God wants us to work. He expects us to work. And husbands, Jesus says at one point, or I think maybe Paul said it, that a husband who does not provide for his family is worse than the vilest sinner. You work. I mean, work hard. But the thing is, with the birds, they can't plant the grain. They can't harvest the grain. They can't take grain and store it up in a big barn. They just eat what God has provided for them. What God is telling us is we can't control every little thing, and the worry comes from, and the point of worry and stress comes at that point where we have to decide whether we're going to try to keep control or whether we're going to let God be in control. God will certainly provide for us. And you might be asking, because I ask myself, what about Christians who live in poverty, either in America or around the world? Because there are people in America who are believers in Christ, who are followers of God, and they live in poverty. There are people around the world who are followers of God who live in poverty. I mean, this says that God's going to provide. So what's he talking about? Well, God provides for his people in two different ways. One is through your own work, but the other is through the charity of his people. If there are times when God's people do live in poverty and do live in need, but God still provides for them through people who have wealth and the people who have means. That's why James 1:27 is a big deal. Pure and undefiled religion is this: to care for a widow and orphan in their distress and live unstained by the world. God is, what James is saying in that verse is, we religion, pure religion is us taking care of those who can't take care of themselves. Us stepping up and taking care of those in need. So instead of us going, God, please provide for the Christians around the world who have need, God's saying, Christian, provide for the believers around the world who have need, and others as well. Step up and do it and give. Now the key of this whole passage is verse 27. This is one I want to land on for just a minute. Verse 27. And who of you, being worried, can add a single hour to his life? What good does worry accomplish? Have you ever spent a lot of time worrying about a decision, worrying about a circumstance that's going on, and when it happened and it's done and it's over and you're on their side about it, you sat back and you went, boy, I'm glad I worried about that. I wish I'd worried a little bit more, because that would have really helped out. Anybody? No. In fact, worry accomplishes just the opposite. Worry is demonstrated to shorten our lives. Worry is not going to make you live longer. Worry is not going to make you happier. Worry is not going to make you feel better about the situation. It just makes you hungry and tired and stressed out and not in a good shape. Worry accomplishes nothing. Jesus tells us not to do it. Verse 31, here's his instructions to us. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Verse 33, listen to this. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All what things? Well, food, our drink, and our clothing. So we're tempted to take that verse and yank it out of that context and say that if I seek after God, he's going to give me everything I want. Seek first God and his kingdom and all these things. Well, what's all these things? All these things is anything I want, right? No, Jesus is saying, seek after God and his kingdom first, And he's going to take care of your basic needs so you don't have to worry about those things. Remember last week, all the extra stuff on top of that, if we're pursuing that anyway, we need to recheck what we're pursuing because that means we're pursuing wealth instead of God. God's going to take care of our needs. Verse 34, so do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. There's no point in worrying today or about tomorrow because we can't do anything about it anyway. What the problem generally comes down to is that we are placing our hope and our faith in things that will disappoint. When we worry about things, when we worry and we're out of and we feel out of control, and that's where the stress comes in. It's because we're focusing on things that if this thing will fall into place, if this new job will fall into place, if this raise will fall into place, if this relationship will fall into place, if this thing, whatever it is, will just happen the way I want it to, then my stress and worry will go away. But the problem is it always, always, always fails or lets us down. Or isn't complete, that we get the job, we get the new job, we get the raise, and that's great, but then we're just stressed out about a different thing. And how much money is enough? More. We'll never get to a spot that we feel like we've got enough unless we're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then that worry can go away because when we're focusing on him, when we're worried about what he's called us to do, he cares for the rest. Go to Philippians chapter 4, and this is the practical application of this. Philippians chapter 4, Paul talks about this. And there's a word that I want us to leave here if we remember nothing else. It's one word I want you to remember. It's contentment. Because if we're content, then we're not worried. If you're content where you are, if you're content with what you have, if you're content with what you can do, if you're content, then there's no worry and there's no stress. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by, I'm sorry, wrong verse. Verse 11, get down to verse 11. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whichever circumstances I am. Verse 12, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It's another verse. It's probably the most misquoted verse of the Bible. Maybe you ever heard this verse used this way. Philippians 4:13 is my favorite verse. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can be whatever I want to be. I can do whatever I want to do. I just reach for the stars and I can accomplish it. My team, we're going to pray Philippians 4:13 before we go out and play the game. My job, I'm going to work today. I'm going to quote Philippians 4:13. That's my life verse because I can do all things. I can do anything I want to through him who strengthens me. Who's heard it quoted that way before? Yeah, pretty much everybody. It has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. That's why context is so important. I hope to teach you in my time as your pastor to read your Bible in context because we can take verses and take them out of where they were and we can make them mean things they don't mean. When you're studying your Bible, one of the most important things to think about is what was the original writer trying to say to the original audience? Okay? That's a way of interpreting your Bible that is the most accurate way to interpret your Bible. What was the original writer trying to say to the original? So what was Paul trying to say to the church members of the church in Philippi? Well, he was saying this. I know how to get along with humble means. I know how to be broke. I know how to be rich. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, of having abundance and suffering need. Let's talk about Paul's life for a minute. Paul was the Hebrew's Hebrew. He was the Pharisee's Pharisee. He was a great teacher in Israel. He was one of the ones that everybody looked up to, everybody respected as a leader. And in that position, he was wealthy. He made a lot of money. He had a lot of friends. And he followed Christ. He got saved. He lost his influence. He lost his money. He lost his friends. He was a bivocational church planter, is what we would call him today. He made tents as he went. And he planted churches, stayed there for a couple of years, sometimes even a couple of months, and then moved on. And in that time, he was stoned. He was beaten by rods. He was bitten by a poisonous snake. He was shipwrecked more than once. He got chased out of towns, threatened for his life. And in all those things, he says this, I can do all things. I can handle whatever situation comes my way because of Jesus in my life. Paul's saying, I don't have to worry. I don't have to stress out. Because elsewhere he said, remember, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So for Paul, he was pursuing God's kingdom. He was pursuing Christ in his life. And whatever that brought his way, he was going to be okay with. Because Jesus gives him strength. I can handle being poor. I can handle not having stuff because I've got Jesus in my life. I can even handle being rich and not let it get to my head because Jesus keeps me humble. I can live in difficult circumstances. I can be hungry. I can be beaten up. I can be bruised. I can be hurt. I can be hurt emotionally. People can backstab me. People around me can die and things can happen to me that hurt badly. But I will be okay because of Jesus in my life. How many of us can say that? That I can be okay if I lose my job, if I lose my friend, if things are hard, or if somebody's mad at me, or I've lost money and I'm going hungry, or whatever your circumstance is, how many of us can say, I am okay in this circumstance? I'm not happy and it hurts, but I'll be okay and I can be content because Jesus Christ is in me and working through me and giving me strength. I can do anything. I can make it through anything. I can be content in anything because of Jesus in my life. And if we can find contentment in what God has done and what Jesus has done, the worry goes away. Because I'm pursuing Him and Him alone. I understand that He has control. You understand this. God's in control. Whether you want to give Him credit for it or not, God is in control of everything that is happening in your life. And the sooner we understand that, and the sooner we rest in that, and know that God is running things, and God is controlling things, even the rough things that happen in my life, even the bad things that happen in my life, God's hand is in it, God's hand is on it, so I can be okay, and I can be content, because I'm trusting Him more than I trust myself. And that's a smart way to live, because God's a whole lot more trustworthy than we are. So you put your hope in Him, you put your trust in Him, you put your faith in Him, and the worry goes away. We're going to pray. Daniel, come on up. And I want to take a minute. While he's going to start playing, we're not going to get up just yet. Just stay seated for a minute. But he's going to start playing. I want to take a minute before we start singing and just give you a chance to spend some quiet moments with God right now. Because I don't know what all is going on in your life. Whatever stress, whatever difficulty, whatever hard times, whatever circumstances you're going through. I don't know everybody, what everybody's going through right now. But I know that if we'll put your faith and trust in God, that He will carry you through it. That He will give you the rest you need, that He will give you the comfort and the contentment and the peace you need. So take a minute, get alone, get quiet with God, and tell Him what it is that's bothering you. Tell Him what it is that's stressing you out, what's got you worried, and then ask Him to give you the strength to let Him carry it for you. To let Him be in control.
Taken me from the miry clay, you set my feet upon the rock, and now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end.
would stand. We continue to sing along, worship with us, but also respond this morning. Let God lead you. If you need to come down and lay something at the altar to give it to Him, to stop worrying about it, come and do that. If you come talk to me and pray, I'm glad to do that as well. Take a moment, respond to God this morning.
Jesus, lover of my soul.